We begin the current daf himself. Zivam es daf pei dal. We begin 12 lines down at the top of the Amud. We begin the new perek, the 9th perek himself. Zivam es perek yesh mutaris. Now, Tais explains that the reason why the Tana suddenly diverts from the discussion of the previous parakim is because the derech, the custom of the Tana that put together the Mishnayis, and that's how the Gemara was based on, is that after that they went through the details of the halachas of the Masechta, then it repeats it in a shortened version, in a bridge way, so that a person could have easy recall of the halachas. As our Mishnah goes through and it categorizes all the different halachas that were spoken about in the context of those that are permitted or forbidden relationships, and in the context of the halachas of Yibum, the Mishnah goes through and specifies four categories, both for halachas d'iraisa and d'rabban. So the Mishnah begins, Yash mutaris abalein, there are certain women that are permitted to their husbands, but vasuris leave man, but they're forbidden to their yavam. Second category, there are mutaris leave man, there are women that are permitted to the yavam, but vasuris lebalein, they're forbidden for their husbands. Third category, mutaris le'elu le'elu, there are certain women that are permitted both to their husband and when their husband dies without children, permitted to their yavam. And then the fourth category is vasuris le'elu le'elu, women that are forbidden both to their husband and to the yavam. So the Mishnah begins. First, the Mishnah delineates those which are psuli deraisa, and then the Mishnah will talk about those that are pasul madraban. The first category was ve'elu mutaris lebalein vasuris levimein. These are the women that are permitted to their husbands but are forbidden to the yavam. For example, kohen hedyet shenasa salmona, a regular kohen that marries a widow who he's permitted to. And actually, Rashi says that the case would have just as easily been if he had married a besula, a woman that was never married before, because when he dies and falls for Yibim to his brother, which the case is talking about a Kohen Gadol, she will become an Almana just from that Nefila. And the Gemara actually will ask that question. It could have just said, a Kohen Hedya Shanasa Esa Besula, which would have been even a bigger Chiddush. But either way, the Kohen Hed is permitted to marry a Besula or Almana, so it's Mutaris Lebalein. But V'yesh Lo Ach Kohen Gadol, and he has a brother, a Kohen Gadol, who is forbidden in Almana, whether the Kohen Hedya had married a regular Besula, when he dies now she's an Almana, and it's Os Lebalein. Next case in this category is chol shenasa ksheira. If you have a kohen that's a chol that marries a regular valid woman, v'yesh le'ach kosher, and he has a kosher brother that's a kohen, so it's forbidden to the yavam for him to do yibum because this woman that was ksheira when she has bia with a chol makes her into a chalal into a psula, as the Gemara learned on the samachesam adal from the pasuk ubas kohen kisi le'ishzar, and therefore she becomes a chalala. Now, she was mutter to labala, although she was a kshera to a chol is allowed to marry a kshera, and she's allowed to marry him. But for the yavam, who's also ach kasher, but now she really became a chalala, an ach kasher is forbidden in a chalala. Next case, Yisrael shenasa bas Yisrael, a regular Jewish man that marries a regular Jewish woman, but v'yesh le'ach mamzer, he has a brother that's a mamzer, who it's asad for the yavam, because the yavam was a mamzer, cannot marry a regular bas Yisrael, but she was permitted to her husband. And finally, the last case is mamzer shenasa mamzeres, where they're permitted to intermarry, so she was mutter labala, but v'yesh le'ach Yisrael, his brother is a regular full-fledged Jew, who's forbidden in his wife, so it's forbidden to the yavam, because a mamzeres cannot marry Yisrael. As the Mishnah says, these cases are all mutaris labalein vasuris levimein. They were permitted to their husbands, but forbidden to the yavams. Second category, ve'elu mutaris levimein vasuris levilein. Now this category is that they're permitted to the yavam, but they're forbidden to their husbands. Case number one is kohen gadol shekidish shezalmon, a kohen gadol that gets engaged to a widow. Now it's specifically getting engaged, because if he would have married her, which thus means they consummated the relationship, she would become a chalala with their bia, and then she would be forbidden to the yavam, even if it's a kohen hedyot. So it's specifically talking about that it was only kedushin. Now that's forbidden for kedushin for a kohen gadol talmana. So she's also labala, but v'yesh le'ach kohen hedyot, the yavam is a brother kohen hedyot who's permitted in almana. So by the fact that there was just kedushin, and then she becomes almana, and he died without any children, so then it's permitted in the yavam. Next case is kasher shenasa chalala, a kasher kohen that marries a chalala, which that's forbidden, a kohen that's kasher not allowed to marry chalala. So it's asul abala, but v'yesh le'achol, his brother the yavam is a chal himself, who's permitted in a chalala, and therefore it's mutil to the yavam. Third case is Yisrael shenasa mamzeres, is Yisrael that marries a mamzeres, who again that's forbidden, so it's asla bala, v'yesh loyach mamzer, and he has a brother mamzer, which that's permitted, a mamzer could marry mamzeres, so it's muta liyavama. And the fourth case is all these categories are all talking about the similar four cases. Fourth case is mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael, a mamzer that marries a regular Jewish woman, which is forbidden, so it's asla bala, v'yesh loyach Yisrael, and however he has a brother that's a full-fledged Yisrael who is mutter in his wife, that's a bas Yisrael, and therefore that would be permitted. So it's muta le yivama, and therefore, as the Mishnah concludes this second category, these are all mutars le b'meyan basos le b'leyan. They're all permitted to the yavams and forbidden to the husband. Category number three, ve'elu, and these women are suris le'elu le'elu, forbidden both to the husband and to the yavam. For example, if you have a kohen gadol shenasas almana, kohen gadol that married an almana. Now, marriage to the almana, thus, he was forbidden to her. But moreover, he made her into a chalala by having beer with her. And v'yesh le'ach kohen gadol oy kohen hedjet, if he has a brother, whether kohen gadol or kohen hedjet, will be forbidden to the yavam too, because even the kohen hedjet is forbidden in the chalala, who this almana became a chalala after having beer with his brother, the kohen gadol. Next case is kasher shenasa chalala. You have a kohen kasher that married a chalala, which is obviously forbidden. And v'yesh le'ach kasher, and he has a brother that's kasher, that's a kohen kasher who's also forbidden in chalal. And the next case is Yisrael shenasa mamzeres. Yisrael that marries mamzeres is forbidden. And b'yesh la'ach Yisrael, he has a brother Yisrael who's also forbidden in the mamzeres. And the last case is mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael. The mamzer that marries a bas Yisrael, b'yesh la'ach mamzer. So both of them are mamzerim forbidden in this woman who's a regular bas Yisrael. As the Mishnah concludes this third category, asuris la'elu la'elu, these women are forbidden both to the husbands and to the yavams. Now the fourth category is v'shar kol nashim, and all other women amutaris lebalein levmein, which is regular normal cases, which is that the woman is permitted to her husband, and when her husband dies, is permitted to the yavam. Now the Mishnah moves on to four different categories in shnius m'divrei sefer. Up until now we're talking about these four categories in biblical halacha, and now we're talking about rabbinic halacha. You can have the first category when shni labal, when she's a secondary erva to the husband. But v'leishni liyavim, and she's not a secondary erva to the yavim. That would be in the case if, let's say, it's her husband's, she's her husband's mother's mother, grandmother, but not the yavim's. So rabbinically, the mother's mother is only a rabbinic erva, so she's forbidden to her husband, which is her grandson, but she's not the mother of the yavim, of her husband's brother. And that would be if the brothers are paternal brothers. They only share the same father, but they're not maternal brothers. They don't share the same mother. And therefore, the mother's mother of the husband will not be the mother's mother of the yavim. So that will be the first category of a stula bala, matras liyavim, forbidden to the husband, because she's a shniya to him, but permitted to the yavim. Second category would be shni liyavim, but shni labal. Same case we said just in the reverse, which is the mother of the yavim and not to the husband. So Asuli Yavim, Umitaris Labal, that would be the second category of being forbidden to the Yavim, but permitted to her husband. Third category will be Shni Lazeh Ulazeh. They're both maternal brothers too, and therefore she's the mother of both of them. So Asuli Lazeh Ulazeh shall be forbidden to both. Now regarding this third category, regarding this halacha of Shnias, so the Mishnah says as follows. Ein la leikasuba, a woman that's rabbinically prohibited to the husband, doesn't get the kasuba. Now, what that means is that there's something called tzayim barzel, which is when she brings into the marriage, she writes it into ksuba and says, look, I'm bringing these properties in. It's worth a certain amount of money. You can use it. It's all yours. But when the marriage ends, then I want exactly the value that it's worth now. She doesn't get that after the marriage is over. And v'le peiris, she doesn't get neither the peiris. In other words, har nichsi malug, which are different types of properties, which the husband doesn't take responsibility for it. And if it increases in value or decreases, it's all hard gain or loss. But there is halacha of the nichsi milug that the husband gets to eat the peiros. Now, regarding this halacha, if the husband eats the peiros, he doesn't have to compensate her for that. Now, the understanding of this is because although the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubos that the woman has, if she gets taken in captivity, the husband has a responsibility to redeem her. Now, the reason why he has that liability is because of the peiros nichsi milug that he eats, meaning the properties that's really hers, but she's bringing into the marriage, which he's not taking any responsibility for, like nichsi term barzel, which are considered iron because he has such a responsibility for it that's insured. Here he's not, but the fact that he could eat the produce from that, so from that gain, the Chazal gave him a responsibility of redeeming the woman. As the Mishnah there teaches that even if he didn't write in the ksuba that imtish daboy afrikinach, if you get taken in captivity, I'm going to redeem you, even so he has to redeem her because that's a tnai bezin. It's a condition of the ksuba. Now, however, the halacha is regarding a woman that's rabbinically prohibited to him, actually, he doesn't have to redeem her. And the reason is because it doesn't apply to what's written in the ksuba, v'isvinach la'antu, and that I'll place you like a wife because she's not allowed to stay married to him. Now, that is what the Mishnah is teaching a chiddush, that even so, even though usually the way he's allowed to eat the peiros is because he's redeeming her, even though this woman, he's not redeeming her, if he went and consumed her peiros, he doesn't have to go ahead and compensate her for that. Now, the reason is because just like the Rabbanan penalized the woman of the Nichsi Tzern Barzel, which she brought into him and were inserted in the Kasuba that he's responsible for, so too they penalized her regarding the peiros of the Nichsi Melug, which is also a Tanai Bezin of the Kasuba. So it's one of the conditions of the Kasuba. So just like the Kasuba itself, as we said, Ein Lo Kasuba, so that's penalizing her in the Nichsi Tzern Barzel. Moreover, they penalize her also in the Tanai Bezin of the Kasuba, which is the peiros Melug, that he only gets because of redeeming her. So even though here he's not redeeming her, he doesn't have to pay for that he consumed with the peiros. Moreover, lemezainus. Now, as Rashi explains, we don't have to tell you in the case when he's home and she's home that he doesn't have to go ahead and sustain her and give her nourishment, because actually the halach is that he has to get rid of her. He can't stay married to her. So obviously we're not going to mandate him to give her food. But the chiddush of this is, even if he went overseas and now she has no food, which generally a woman's allowed to go ahead and borrow money, and then the husband's going to have to pay that back. In this case, he doesn't have to have that responsibility for the food that she borrowed because she was still married to him. Even so, we penalize her. He doesn't have to pay back for that food that she borrowed. And vole blois. Now, that means to say, according to Rashi, that if, let's say, there were these garments that she had brought into him, into the marriage that she brought in, and there's still some remnants of it, although they're worn out, she doesn't take those when she leaves. And even that, the Rabbanan penalize her, that these worn out garments, she doesn't get when she leaves the marriage. Now, however, Vavlad kasha, Vavlad, the child is a kosher child because it's not a mamzer, it's only rabbinically forbidden relationship. But Vakaifa Nesleitze, they force him to divorce her because rabbinically, a person, for example, is forbidden to marry his mother's mother. Now, however, the Mishnah concludes, Amon l'kohen gadol. But if you have a biblically prohibited relationship, like a widow to a kohen gadol, or a grusha v'chalitza l'kohen hedyed, a divorcee, or a woman that had chalitza to a regular kohen, or mamzeres from the Nesinim of Yisrael, an illegitimate child, or a person from the nation of the Nesinim to a regular Jewish man, or the other way around, bas Yisrael, nasan mamzer, then yashla and kesuba, there actually those women do have a kesuba, as Gemara explained the reason, where although by the rabbinically prohibited relationships, she loses all these things, by the biblically prohibited relationships, actually she doesn't lose her kesuba. Now, the Gemara asks on the first case of the Mishnah, which we spoke about, the ones that are mutaris lebalein, vasuris lebalein. So the Gemara asks, regarding the case of when we said that the kohen hedyed that married an almana. So he said that she's permitted to the husband of kohen hedyed, allowed to marry the almana. And however, he has a brother, kohen gadol, who is forbidden in that almana. So now the Gemara asks, my iri d'tani nasa, why do we say specifically that the kohen hedyed married the almana, lisni kiddush? It should have said, forget about it. The case doesn't have to go that far that he had married her. It could even be that he got engaged to her, because that would still fit the bill for being permitted to the husband, because a kohen hedyed's allowed to get engaged to almana, even allowed to marry, and you would still have already asur liyavama, because an almana, even from erisin, is forbidden to a kohen gadol. So why do you have to say nasa? Go further. So the Gemara says, now, b'chi tema the time of the nasa, if you're going to say the reason why it says marriage, is the havala say, because what would be in that case of marriage is, you have two problems when the kohen hedyed married almana. You have the problem of besula mi'am of yikach, meaning the kohen gadol, the brother, the yavam, is forbidden to marry a be'ula. He has to marry only a besula, a woman that never had relations. And moreover, v'loy sase, and that is, you'll also have a negative prohibition of amanu lo yikach. Now, that we understand when there's a loy sase and ase, that ase will not be doicha a loy sase v'ase. Aval kiddush, but if let's say the kohen hedyed only got engaged to this besula that's an almana from erisin, and then he also dies from erisin, that is Rashi forewarns, and that is if she's an almana that the kohen hedyed is getting married to, so then automatically she's already a be'ula and she's already an almana. So Rashi explains that the case would be talking about that when the kohen hedyed got engaged to the almana, It could be she was originally almana from engagement also. So she was never a ba'ula. She never had nisuin. So if that was the case they were talking about, then maybe you would say that the Kohen Gadol could do yibum in such a case because asa aseh b'docha lo isa aseh, because then aseh would be deicha, just a negative prohibition of almana, because there's no aseh in such a case, because she's not a problem of besula yikach, because she is a besula. She's just an almana. She gets the category of a widow, even from engagement, but she's not a non-besula. If you would say that's the reason why we say nasa, because if it's only kiddush, then you would say actually maybe the brother Kohen Gadol would be permitted to do yibum based on nasa yidoich leisasei. But on that the Gemara asked, but b'okula pirkin asei, the whole perik, our whole mishnah, what we're talking about, you're talking about the mitzvah of yibum, a positive commandment, and v'loisaseihu. But the problem of that woman is that there's an iser which is opposed upon that person, like all these cases that we're talking about in the mishnah. And yet still, v'loy ase, ase, we don't say that the mitzvah ase of yibum is v'dochi lois ase, to be doichi lois ase, even without an ase. For example, let's say the case of mamzeres to Yisrael, or mamzer to Yisraelis, or chalol to Kayin, all these cases that we mentioned, which we say is forbidden. Now, the reason for this is, as we mentioned in the Avchof and Aleph, where it says, the pasuk v'ols yivim to hasha'ara. The halacha of this mitzvah only applies to a woman that he's generally permitted to. Now, therefore we see that, and as Tais explains a little bit more in detail, that we will make certain gezeiros of birishon or to birishni, but the point is that we don't say in halacha asay doicha leis asay for the mitzvah of yibum, even if there's no asay. So again, we're back to the question: why did it say the kohen had yishanasa? Why didn't yishanasa? Even with just kedushin, she's already considered just a leis asay, and that would be enough to make it forbidden to the kohen gadol. So the Gemara says you're right, but mishum dekabayi lemisne sefer. We didn't have to say nasa; we could have said kiddush, but it's because the sefer, which is the third category mentioned in the Mishnah, which was when the woman is asuris la'ilu la'ilu, forbidden to the husband and to the avam. So there we said, and these are all the four cases that correlate in the four categories. So when it says this case over there, it says kohen gadol shenasa salmana, when you have a kohen gadol who married almana. Now that case has to be dafka nasa. And because the reason why it has to be dafka nasa is because the shavich halala, meaning the husband being forbidden in that case, we understand the kohen gadol is forbidden almana. But one of the halachas were that when the kohen gadol marries almana, it's forbidden for the yavam whether it's a kohen gadol or kohen hedyet. Now, an almana is only forbidden to kohen hedyet after she married the almana, only when there was marriage, not kedushin. Because only through marriage is the shavi halala, that through the bia that they had, it's a bia besula making her into halala. Avakida shari lay, but if there's only kedushin, then she would be permitted to the yavam that's a kohen hedyet. And that's why tananami resha nasa, that's why the resha also said the case of nasa, but really it could have been just as much kedush. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation. Vadetani, instead of saying nasa, like you just said, mishum sefer, because the case of the third category, which has to be toma nasa, listening, but then say kiddush mishum tziyasa, because of this middle case, because of the second category, because the second category had to be kiddush. As the Mishnah said, kohen gadol shekiddush es almana, kohen gadol, they got engaged to almana. Now, we couldn't have said in that case that he got married to the almana, because that case is Toma when they're usher to the husbands and mutter to the yavam. If the Kohen Gadol would have married Amana, he would have been forbidden, she would have been forbidden to the yavam that's a Kohen Hedyet. So it's Toma only that he got engaged, and that the Mishnah said, V'yish le'ach Kohen Hedyet, and then if you have a brother, the yavam's a Kohen Hedyet, then she's permitted to the yavam. Now, so that case had to be Kiddush. So why say in the ratio of the first category? Nasa, because the third category had to say Nasa. What do you mean? The second category had to be Kiddush. So say the first one was Kiddush because of the second one had to be Kiddush. So El Rav, the Gemara says, truth is that it's a different reason why it says Nasa in the first category. The reason is Mishum Bas Buksa. Now the word Bas Buksa is related to the cognitive Bei Iksa. It means a narrow room, a narrow place. In other words, because of the next case in that same category. Because the Gabay Lemisni in that category, when we wanted to talk about who is mutter to the husband and forbidden to the yavam, the case over there, there's another case that says chal shenas ksheira. We're going to chal that marries a ksheira. Now that case is only permitted to the husband, but forbidden to the yavam because time of the nasa. It's only because the chal married her with the shavi chalala. When the chal cohabits with a ksheira, he makes her into chalala. It's a biyipsula. That's why she's forbidden to the yavam. But if there was only kedushin over there, then she would be permitted even to the yavam who is ach kasher, because kedushin didn't make her into halala. That's why for the other case in that same category we also said nasa. But again, essentially the same halacha would be even just with kiddush. Now, however, the Gemara asked a question that we alluded to already in the Mishnah from Rashi. Regarding this first case, why does it say regarding the Kohen Hedyot that marries Lamana and the brother that's the Yavam is a Kohen Gadol that it's permitted for the husband forbidden to the Yavam? Listen, Besula, it could have just said a regular Besula, because when the husband, the Kohen Hedyot, dies, she then becomes Lamana, which that's forbidden to the brother Kohen Gadol because there's Lamana. Why does she have to be Lamana before the Kohen Hedyot ever marries her? So the Gemara says now, and we continue on to Medbeis, the Chitim, and if you're going to say the reason is as follows, that Ksavar Haitan and Nisuin Harishonim, that this time holds that it's the original marriage, meaning when the brother, which in this case the Kohen Hedyot, marries the woman, that's Mapilin. That creates the Zika of Yibam, which we had the discussion earlier in this in Masecht regarding what creates the Zika. Is it the marriage that the husband that just died, that marriage right when he gets married, that creates a Zika? Or is it when he dies, the Mises Mapilin? Now, if you're going to say that the reason is because the Tana of this Mishnah holds that it's the original marriage that's Mapil. Now, if that's the case, that creates the mitzvah of Yibum, at that moment when the Kohen Hedyot got married to the Besula, if she was an Almana, then she was still permitted to the Kohen Gadol because she's not an Almana yet. At that moment, she's still a Besula. And that is permitted for her brother, the Kohen Gadol, for his brother, Kohen Gadol. Now, the problem with that is, because look at the other case of that category. We have the case of when the chol marries the kshera. Now we said, when the chol does nisuin, when he gets married to her, it's going to be forbidden to the yavam, that's the ach kasher. But why? There we don't say that the original marriage creates the mitzvah of yibam. In other words, the moment the chol gets married, before he goes and consummates the relationship with having bia, she's not a chalal yet. It's only the bia that makes her pasul. And if you say it's the marriage that's mapul, so those few hours after the chuppah, before the bia, that is already nisuin being mapul. And therefore, the brother kasher should be permitted because there is a zika, although she became a chalala, but that's the same thing we want to say over here with the Kohen Gadol, although she becomes almana. Yeah, but what's creating the zika is a permitted zika before she was an almana, before he died. Because when they were married, she wasn't almana yet, she was still a besula. So but that can't be the interpretation, because you see from the case of Chol Shanasa Kasher that she does is considered a chalala, which is forbidden for the brother. Even though, if you would say nisun harishon mapilin, in the same understanding we're trying to say, that it would be permitted. Rather, Havadim Shem Seifa. It's again, as we had said before, which we had tried saying regarding the other question we had, it's because of the Seifa, Mishum the Gabayla Mishum the Seifa, because we had to say in the Seifa, the equivalent of this case, when we're talking about the third category, when it's forbidden for the husband and for the Avam, so we said that Kangodo Shanasa Es Almana. We said a Kangodo that married the widow, V'yeshli Ach Kangodlo Koin Hedyid, and he has a brother, whether it's a Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedyot. Now, that had to be Dafka Almana. It had to be Almana because only that when the Kohen Gadol has Bia with the Almana, she becomes a Chalala because it's a Bia Besula. It's forbidden type of cohabitation. And therefore, that's how she becomes forbidden to his brother, Kohen Hedyot. A Besula Chazile, but regarding this third category, if the Kohen Gadol had married a Besula, she would be fit for Yibam for the brother that's a Kohen Hedyot because he's allowed to marry an Almana. Even because she didn't become a Pesula, because she was a Pesula, which is permitted for the Kohen Gadol. That's why in the Reisha, in the first case, which is the equivalent of this case, we also mention it as Almana, but rightfully so, it could have just as easily said it as a Pesula, because she anyways becomes Almana when the Kohen Hedyot first husband dies, and thus making it forbidden for the brother, the Kohen Gadol, even if she was a Pesula before him, because she's Almana now. Now, regarding this, four cases that we mentioned in the categorization of these four different categories of a Mishnah, the Gemara asked the following question. Maskelar Papa, Im is lahad chiyas Rav Dimi. If it's true, I mean, if the halacha is like Rav Dimi had said, as is brought on the previous daf on Naf Ein Ches Amud Aleph, that he said, Omer B'yechanan, he said the following halacha from B'yechanan. He said, a mitzri sheni shenasa mitzis rishayna. His opinion was that if a second generation male Mitzri Egyptian convert marries a first generation Egyptian woman convert, so bina sheni haba, her son, I mean it goes maternally, is actually a sheni. So although the father is a sheni and his next descendant should be a shlishi, which is permitted to marry to the Jewish people, we don't go after him, we go after her, and therefore the child is going to be a sheni and still forbidden to marry to the Jewish people. That was his halacha. Now, on that, Rav Papa asks, if it's true, then listen, we can have, based on his halacha, all the four categories of our Mishnah, and therefore it shouldn't have just said four cases. It should have said five cases of every category, because you could have his halacha in all these categories as follows. Mitzri sheni shenasa shtei mitzris. If you have an Egyptian man that's a second generation convert that marries two Egyptian women converts, achas rishayna, v'achas shenia, one's a first generation, meaning she's the one that converted, and one's a second generation, meaning that her parents had converted. Now, v'hoi lebanam rishayna v'shenia, and he had sons from both the first one and the second one, making the two sons, one a third generation Egyptian convert, and one a second generation. Now, you have the cases as follows. Inasav kirachayu, if they marry as halacha would mandate, that the third one, who's a shlishi, who's considered a full-fledged Jew, marries a Yisraelis, and the mitzri sheni, who's not allowed to marry, marries a mitzri shnia. Then you have, let's say, the first category. You have mutaris lebalein, basuris lebman. You have that they're permitted to their husbands, because the shlishi is a Yisrael, so he's permitted in his wife, but he's forbidden as a yavam, meaning to his other brother, because he's forbidden in the shnia. And the reason is because mitzri and ademi, whether they're male or female, are forbidden up until the third generation. And the other way also is that the sheni, he's permitted to his wife, the shnia, but it's forbidden as a yavam to his brother's wife, who is the Yisraelis. So that would be the first category. The epech v'nasim, and if they did halachically the incorrect way, they actually did the exact opposite, where the third one married a mitzris shnia, who he's forbidden to, and the mitzri sheni married a Yisraelis, well, then you have the second category. They're forbidden to their husbands, but permitted to the yavams, because that was the exact opposite of what they should have done. Third category, mutaris la'elu la'elu, you would have in the case of giyaris, when each one married a female convert. Now, a shlishi is permitted to marry a giyaris because she's considered a Yisraelis. Now, the sheni is actually also permitted to marry giyaris, because although the pasuk says that up until the third generation lo yave bekal, and the second generation is not allowed to marry Yisraelis, but what's called kal gerim leikri kal, a giyaris is not considered part of the kill of the Jewish people, and therefore they each permitted to their wives. And moreover, if one of the brothers dies, the yavam is permitted in that other brother's wife, because a giyaris is permitted both for a mitzri sheni and a mitzri shlishi. And for the fourth category, asuris leilu leilu, you'll have in the specific case of islandness, which is, if let's say there was a woman that's an islandess, that's a Yisraelis, if the sheni married a Yisraelis and she's an islandess, well, she's forbidden to him. So you have asur labal, because she's a Yisraelis and the mitzvah sheni is forbidden Yisraelis. Now, when he dies, she's forbidden in the yavam because of a specific halach of asher telit, which says that an islandess is forbidden to the yavam because of that she can't give birth. So you see that you could have asuris to the Baal and to the Yavam. So you have all four categories. So if it's true, and because this whole case conceptualization is only possible based on Rav Dimi, who says we base it on the mother, not the father, because if it be on the father, you wouldn't be able to have this case, because every, no matter which woman he marries, we'd base after him. But based on Rav Dimi's halacha, Rav Papa asked, then you should have said this in our case of the Mishnah. Don't just say four cases, say five cases in all these categories. So that the Gemara answers, you're right, you could have said it, but Tana B'Shayer, the Tana doesn't say every case that could fit into these categories, it's said and the leftover. So the Gemara asks, as it always does, my Shire the High Shire, what did it leave over that it left over something else? In other words, if there was just one more case, they would have thrown it in instead of four, would have made it five. But if there's 7 or 9 or 13, there has to be at least two to say that we left out. So what other case was left out that you said we left out the case of Mitzri? That the Gemara says, Shire Petsua Daka. We left out the case of a person that has crushed testicles, where you could have had all four categories, as Rashi goes through them. If you have a Petsua Daka that married a Yisraelis, well, that's forbidden to the husband, because a Petsua Daka is forbidden to marry any Jewish woman from the Kila, but permitted to her Yavam if he's not a Petsua Daka. If you have a case of a regular Jewish man, Kosher, that marries a Kshera, but the brother, the Yavam, is a Petsua Daka, well, that's forbidden to the Yavam, but permitted to her husband. If you have a Petsua Daka that married Yisraelis and his brother's Petsua Daka also, well, that's forbidden to the Baal and to the Yavam. And if you have it that the Petsua Daka married Giyaris, well, then she's permitted to both, because the Petsua Daka is permitted to marry Giyaris because she's not part of the Kila, and the brother's also permitted to marry the Giyaris. So therefore, you left out that case, and therefore we left out the case of Mitzri too, and there was not difficult on Rav Dimi. But in that, the Gemara asks, Imishum b'tzuadaka, if you're proving from the case of b'tzuadaka, that's lav shiura. That wasn't left out. D'hatanele chiv alavin. It's already included because we mentioned in one of the cases, amon l'kohen gadol, which that's a negative prohibition. Now, including the rubric of negative prohibition is b'tzuadaka, which is also negative prohibition. So that wasn't left out. But the case of mitzri should have been said. So that's difficult according to Rav Dimi. Now, the Gemara responds to that. What do you mean? Atu chiv alavin, what do you think? That chiv alavin is a general category, including everything under its umbrella? Mila ketani v'adetani, didn't we anyway delineate different cases of chiv alavin? And from the fact that we didn't say another case of tzuadaka, that must be because it was left out? Because v'akatani, we said other cases, we said kain hedyet, shenas almana, and we had, besides that one, we had v'chol shenas ksherah, where both of these are negative prohibitions, and we still said it. So you see that it's not just, we didn't say a general category of chiv alavin. We said more than one case of chiv alavin. Hence, it should have said petzua daka. From the fact that it didn't, it must be because it was shire. And if it left that over, so therefore left out the case of mitzri also. And then the Gemara responds, no, that's not true. Hahu, the case of, let's say, a chol lemerit kashera, that wasn't an additional chiv alavin case. It's tzrichalei. It's actually necessary for a different component of the halacha. In other words, as Rashi explains, we're talking about that the woman is a kahanis. And the reason why we said it was not because to tell us that she's usher to the yavam, because that is as the Gemara is rebutting what the Gemara is trying to answer for Rav Dimi. That we knew already from Chiv Alavin, from the case of, let's say, Amon L'Kohen Gadol. The reason why we're saying this next case of Chol Shenas Ksheira is to tell us that she's Muteris Labala. That is Lashem Inik Rav Yehuda Merav. Dam Rav Yehuda Merav, he says, Lehuzdru Ksheiris Lihinasi Lipsulin. He says, although that a man that's kosher is forbidden into the woman that's pasul, a woman that's kosher is permitted to marry a man that's pasul. Now therefore, although the kohen is forbidden in the halal, the kahanis doesn't have that problem. That's why we said the case of chol shenas ksheira. Not because it's a chiv alavin and to say that it's forbidden in the yavam. That we already know from chiv alavin. And therefore, p'tzudaka wasn't necessarily wasn't left out, it's included in Chiv Alavin. So why did we say the case? To tell you that she's Kasher Labala, the Muteres Labala component, not the Asuris Liyavama, because we're telling you that although he's a Chal, and if it was the other way around, it would be a problem, if he was Kasher and she was a Chalal, but if he's a Chal, even though she's a Ksherish, she's Muteres Labala, that was a Chiddush. But the Gemara still asks. But Vagutani, besides the case that we said of Chol Shenas Ksheira, which, fine, let's say you found the reason why it was said, but we said more cases of Chiv Alavin. Obviously, it's not just an umbrella including all cases, because we said the Yisrael Shenasa Bas Yisrael V'yishlach Mamzer. We said a case when the Yisrael that marries the Bas Yisrael, who it's Muteres Labala, but it's forbidden Liyavama because the brother's a Mamzer. That's a case of Chiv Alavin, and still we delineated that case. So why don't we say Petsuadaka? Obviously, it's because it was Shire, and therefore we left out Mitzri too. Now the Gemara says no. That's also not a good illustration of that we were repeating different cases of Chiv Alavin, because we still needed it for a different Chiddush. And essentially, we would not have said all these cases because we are saying one general category. And the reason why I have to say Mamzer is, because we had to tell you, originally, the first two cases were cases of Kuhuna. Malika and Godel, you have a case of Chol Shenasik Shera, they're all Kuhuna problems. They're what's called a lav that's not by everybody, it's only for Kehanim. Now, but Kamash Malon, the reason why the Mishnah then delineates another case is to tell you a lav Hashavah B'Kol, that's something that's by everybody, the entire Jewish people, which Mamz is a problem, for that we said it. But regarding the case of Chiv Alavin, that includes everything, including B'tzudaka. So B'tzudaka wasn't left out. So how do you have a raya to answer Rav Dimi that we left out Mitzri, and how do we know that because we left the B'tzudaka? It's not true. B'tzudaka was including Chiv Alavin. So why do we say all these other cases of Chiv Alavin? There's reasons for them. That the Gemara concludes, however, Bahakutani, there was another case which there's no reason why it says it, if it was already included in Chiv Alavin, because you have the case of Yisrael Shenasa Mamzeres V'yishlach Yisrael, or Umamza Shenasa Mamzeres V'yishlach Yisrael, where they're unnecessary, because that we already know from Chiv Alavin, and there's no ulterior chiddush that we're introducing in those cases. Rather, what you confirm from this is that we didn't say all the cases of Chiv Alavin with the category of Chiv Alavin. We went through all the specific cases. But we didn't say Betzuradaka. Must be Tana B'Shire that we said certain cases, but left out others. Shema Mino, we can infer from this that not only was Betzuradaka left out, but also the case of Mitzri Sheini, according to Rav Dimi, and therefore that resolves his case. Yes, we could have said it based on his halacha, But it was Tana B'Shai. Now the Gemara goes back to a halacha that we introduced in this previous discussion as a way of trying to rebut the explanation of Rav Dimi. Gufo, we said that Amar Yudim Rav says lehuzru kasheris li nasi b'sul. He says the halacha is that although a kasher is forbidden in a psula, meaning a kasher man cannot marry a woman that's forbidden, but the other way around is not true. A woman that's kasher is allowed to marry a man that's pasul, meaning regard if he's a chalal, for there's kohanic problems, it's no problem. A kashera could go ahead and marry him. So that the Gemara says, le misaye, le, let's say we can find a raya for this from our Mishnah. Because in the case of when we spoke about when she's mutter labala, we said the case of chal shenasa kashera. We're going to chal that marries a kashera. Now, the Gemara wants to assume, as the Gemara had introduced this in the previous discussion, my lav kohenes, isn't it talking about that she's a kohenes? Umay kashera, what does it mean that she's kashera? Meaning, why would a kohenes be called a kashera? Because she's kashera l'kohuna. Now, as Rashi explains, because the halacha is that a kohen, if he could find as a spouse a bas kohen, he shouldn't marry a bas yisrael, as the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, that actually what's considered a sudas rishus, not a sudas mitzvah, is when it's a bas yisrael marrying a kohen. It's only a sudas mitzvah if in ve'agevin, that a bas kohen is marrying a kohen. So therefore, you see that when it's calling her a kashera, is that she's a kohenes. So although she's kasher for kohuna, however, we're saying that she's mutter labala and she can marry a chal. So you see clearly, Rabbi Yehuda Merav's halacha, that the kasheras are not forbidden to marry someone that is pasul for kohuna, which is a chal. The Gemara says, no, it's no rai from HaMishnah, because it could be tomar yisraelis. Umay kasher, what does it mean that she's kasher? Not for kohuna, but kasher l'kal means she's kasher for kal. And that's for sure that a regular bas yisrael is not forbidden the chal, because that has no relevance to our life. Chal is only regarding kahanic halachas, not regarding kehila halachas. Now that the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the interpretation of kasherah, not for kahuna, but for the kehila, but look at the second half of that case. It says, yesh li ach kasher. If he has an ach kasher, then the halacha is going to be that she's going to be pasul for her husband, because, as the Gemara says, now, you can't. If you would say ach kasher means name kasher l'kahal, like you're entertaining to say that she's kasherah means l'kehila, so when it's saying that he has a brother, a kasher, must be also that he's kasher l'kahal. Now, machlal duhu pasul l'kahal, what that would sound like is that the husband that's pasul, the brother's kasher, but he's pasul as we call him a chal. So the contrast, the inverse of kasher to kal means that he's pasul is also lakal, but you can't say that because you said that she's mutter labala. Someone that's pasul to the kehila, no matter who the woman is, if she's one of the kehila of the Jewish people, can't marry him. Elav kohen must be when we said that the kohen that's the brother that's kasher means that he's kasher for kahuna, meaning he's a kohen kasher. Now umiduhu kohen from the fact that he's a kohen. So he kohenes, so when we call her kshera, must be that she's also kohenes, mean that she's kshera l'kuhuna. So you're back to the raya that you see clearly that from the fact that we're defining what is the term kshera must be for kahuna, and yet in spite of that she's mutter to her husband, the chol, like Rav Yehuda Merav says, that the ksheras are permitted in the psulim. I think Merav rebuts the raya and says, no, me the iria, is it a raya? Hakadisa, no. When regarding the ach kasher, although it uses the same terminology of kasher, it means that he's kasher for kahuna. And therefore his brother that's the pasul is only pasul for kahuna. But when we're calling this woman kshera, it doesn't mean kshera for kahuna, to prove Rabbi Yehuda Merav's halacha that she permitted in the chal. It can be told that she's kshera l'kehila, and there's no raya that the term kasher has to mean the same idea by both the woman and by the brother. But now Moshe Rav and Bar Nachman, they asked on the halacha that we're saying from Rabbi Yehuda Merav regarding that the ksheris are allowed to marry the psulis the kahuna. There's a pasuk in Biyukah that says, lo yikachu, lo yikachu. That is, the pasuk says, isha zayna v'chalala lo yikachu, and v'isha grusha m'isha lo yikachu. Now, the question is, why do I have to say two times lo yikachu? It says, one time lo yikachu, don't marry a zayna, or a chalala, or a grusha. Why does it repeat lo yikachu? Melamed, sho isha m'seris adei ish, comes to tell you that there's two problems of taking. Not only can he not take her, she cannot take him. Now, the Gemara's assumption is, what does it mean she cannot take him? When she's kasher and he's a chal, that just like he cannot marry a chalala, the kashera cannot marry a chal. So that disproves Rav Yehuda Merav's halacha. So that the Gemara says, Amar Rav, he says that no. That pasig is not coming to warn a kashera from marrying a pasul. Rather, it's coming to warn a pasula, the chalala herself, cannot marry the kasha. In other words, as the Gemara says, kol hecha duhu muzer, wherever he's forbidden, wherever he has a warning. For example, that as it says in the pasuk, that a kohen is not allowed to marry a zayin or a chalala, so too, he muzheris. She has the same iser not to get married to him. Meaning it's saying that not only is he having the iser, but she has the iser too when she's a chalala to marry to the kohen kasher. However, where he's not forbidden, for example, a chola in the kasher, where he's allowed to marry a kashera, he loy mizhar, she's also not forbidden. Exactly what Rav Rav says, that the kashera is allowed to marry the chol. Now the Gemara asked, how could that be the interpretation of that pasuk of loy kachu, as the Braisa says that to be that she's mizharis aydei ish, not that when she's, as you're saying, kashera and he's pasul, but rather when she's the psula, just like he can't take her, she cannot be taken by him. Is it really true that we learn that out from this pasuk of Le'ikachu? But we learn from a different general halacha that we know. Then Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says, and v'chitan Rabbi Yishmol was torn in the brisa of the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmol. It's a pasuk of Amidbar that says, Isha Isha, man or woman, ki yasu mikol chatzis adam, if they do any of the sins of man. Now we see from the pasuk, Hishva hakasiv Isha le'ish, the pasuk is equating a woman to a man, l'chol einshin shabbat Torah, for all punishments in the Torah, in other words, for negative prohibitions and for karas. However, by a positive commandment, there's no punishment. And therefore, that's where the halacha of mitzvah sasechus mangarama, which is a positive time-bound mitzvah, actually women are exempt. But by negative prohibitions, whether it's mangarama or shloyas mangarama, women are actually obligated in all, even time-bound, negative prohibitions, because you see regarding punishments, which applies to karas or to negative prohibitions like lashes, women are equated with men. So therefore, why would we need lo yikachu as a repetition to tell us that when she's a halala, that which the Torah is telling is forbidden for the man to take her, that she's also forbidden to be taken by him? Well, that's obvious. Any loisa in the Torah doesn't apply just to man, it applies to the woman too. So the Gemara says, no, because imahi, if we would only be coming from Rabbi Yehuda Merav's halacha, havamina lav hashava b'kol, I would have thought to say, when it's a halacha that applies to the entire Jewish people, then, as it's equating regular man, regular woman, that's it's a universal a Jewish law, then the woman is the same as the man. Avalav she'ena shava b'kol, but regarding a negative prohibition that's case-specific, where a lav of kahuna is not shava b'kol, because it doesn't apply to non-kahanim. Therefore, had we not said lo yikocha, I would have thought to say loy, that we would go leniently and we would exempt women. That's why we have to say lo yikocha, to say that not only could the man that's kasher not take the halala, the woman the halala, she has her own prohibition of being taken by the man. Now, we continue on top of pe'alv menav, where the Gemara asked on this. But v'arei tumah, we find by the halachas of tumah, the lav she'en shava b'kol, the prohibition of becoming ritually impure does not apply to the entire Jewish people, because it only applies, as the pasuk says, v'yikacha falav emar el hakayhanim, kahanim are warned about becoming tummy, and not a yisrael, a non-kayan. Now, yet still, the time of the kasher rachmana, and the only reason that is, since the Torah says b'nei aharon in the halachas of tumah, which means the sons of Aaron, and we make a drasha that says b'loy b'noy yisrael, not the daughters of Aaron. Halav ha'achi, if not for that drasha, havamina nashim chayaves, we would have thought to say that women are obligated and liable in these halachas of tumah. But my time, why would that be? Lav mishum Rabbi Yehuda Merav, wouldn't it be based on Rabbi Yehuda Merav's halacha? In other words, what we see from that halacha, from that drasha of bnei Aaron and not bnei Saharan, that even a lav she'ena shav b'koil, which is the halachas of tumah for kahanim, we would still learn from over there, from Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that we equate women to men. So how can you say you need lo yukachu to say when there's lav she'ena shav b'koil, when you see clearly that we assume that it applies even by lav she'ena shav b'koil, and that's why we needed bnei Aaron to exclude bnei Saharan from there? And the Gemara says, loy, no, digamrinim lo yukachu. Actually, from isha isha, we would not learn, or we would only know lav she'ena b'koil. Now this, that we need the exclusion of loy b'noy saharan, that's because if we didn't have that exclusion, we would have learned it from this loy yikachu that we're telling you, where there we are introducing a new chiddush, that a woman is going to be liable even by lav she'ena shav b'koil, where it's only kahanic obligation. So therefore, you would think it would apply by all lav she'ena shav b'koils. That's why we need b'nei aharon, v'loy b'noy saharan, to say, however, even that by that lav she'ena shav b'koil, it does not apply to women. Or ikadami, there are those that say, that kiche itzrichle, that this calculation is in a different way. That the reason why we had to write in that pasuk of lo yikachu in the category of lav she'ena shav b'koil, that women are going to be obligated in them, that a lahazer psulis on a ish kohen kasher, is you're right. We really know the halacha even from Rabbi Yehuda Merav's source. But, so gedai dechamin legame mitumah, we would have thought to say that we would learn from the halachas of tumah, and that is because we see from the halachas of tumah where it's a lav she'in the shav b'koil, and women are exempt because you say b'nei aron v'lo b'nei saharon. So maybe, as you see by tumah that they're exempt, maybe we would say by the case of halala to a kohen, she's also going to be exempt because it's also a lav she'in shav b'koil. And that is what kamash malan. That's what we have to say lo yikachu lo yikachu. Not because we wouldn't know that from here the merav. That does apply to all halachas, but we would have thought we learned it from in the aron v'lo b'nei saharon. That's when lo yikachu lo yikachu to say that even though it's a lav she'in shav b'koil, where although she's exempt by halachas of tumah, she is liable in halachas of the forbidden relationship of a kohen to a zayna and a chalala.